desire your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I've written on the board, personal Gethsemane. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And that is a time that we especially remember and celebrate, if you will, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It represents victory. It represents life. On the board here, we have a picture, and I will explain it. But here's an empty tomb. This is a tomb. And we think about Jesus on Easter, on that Sunday that we especially remember that time, that He rose from the dead. He conquered death in the grave. And through His resurrection, we have hope this morning, and we have life. And we look forward to that. We anticipate that. I know even out in the world, there are people that do not come to church on any other Sunday, but sometimes they'll come on Easter Sunday, maybe on Christmas. But the resurrection, and while we celebrate the resurrection, it did not happen by itself. There was a process that took place before there was a resurrection. Before there's a resurrection, what does there have to be? There has to be a death. Before there is conquering power, there had to be a death. And we talk about that as the cross. We have the cross here. And Jesus died on that cross. He shed His blood on that cross. And we celebrate that cross as well. And without the cross, there would be no resurrection. There would be no celebration of life if there had not yet been a death. But there was something that took place before the cross. And what was that? It was in the garden. And that's what this picture is here. It's a garden. And this is the Garden of Gethsemane for our purposes here this morning. Before Jesus went to the cross, He went to the garden, and it was there that He prayed. And this, the burden the Lord has put on my heart for this week, it dovetails right with the Sunday school lesson that Brother Randy already gave this morning. Before He went to the cross, there was a place of consecration that He made. There was a place of denial, of personal denial of the will of His flesh, that He had to come to a place of complete consecration and denial to prepare Himself for the cross. And then He went to the cross, and then from the cross to the grave, and then from the grave He arose. But my burden this morning is that we give some consideration to Gethsemane. And I'd like us to begin over in the 26th chapter of Matthew. We'll begin reading with verse 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And He said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then said He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, And keep in mind, folks, this morning, this is talking about Jesus, the Son of God, the One who came from heaven to experience what we experience in life. And Jesus said, O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And then He came unto the disciples and found them asleep. He came from a place of anguish. And it seemed like everybody else was just living life. They were sleeping. Just really not attuned to the place of agony that He was in. It would almost seem like they didn't care. But do you know they really did? But Jesus had to make this consecration by Himself. And He said, Could you not watch with Me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. and he went away again. And keep in mind, when Jesus woke his disciples up, he could have asked them to go with him. But he didn't. He went away. He went away from his disciples and he prayed and said, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Gethsemane was a place, it was a park. It was a place that people would go for refreshment. A place people would go to maybe find some peace. It was a place that was at the foot of the Mount of Olives. And so most likely there were olive trees there. There might have been paths to walk. Have you ever gone to a nice place where there was trees? There might have been a fountain there. Because especially in the arid country in which they were, to have a place that had been designed for refreshment. Designed for a place of rest. And Jesus walked there and he spent some alone time. And when he was there, the scripture said that Jesus said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." And it also said that he began to be heavy. Sorrowful meant, in the Greek, agony. It was more than just, "Well, I'm feeling kind of bad, and I'd like to have a little alone time." His heart was burdened, his heart was heavy, and he went, and over in the chapter of Luke, in the 22nd chapter, it says a little different. Jesus prayed and he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And then there appeared an angel. Keep in mind, in the midst of his personal struggle. And this is what Gethsemane was about, in part. It was about a personal struggle of my will coming into conflict with God's will for my life. And Jesus, he said, an angel came from heaven and strengthened him. Right in the middle of his agony, an angel came and strengthened him. And it said, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Medically, they say that it is possible to be in such agony in your spirit that there's that physiological response of blood actually coming out in the pores. Some had said it's just heavy droplets of sweat. But the point here is that Jesus was in agony. He was sorrowful. His heart was heavy and burdened. And the word agony is taken from the Greek wrestlers. Before they would enter into competition, and they would be in agony knowing they had this intense competition ahead of them. And the agony and the intensity and the anguish in their spirits. And when Jesus said he was heavy, it meant overwhelmed with anguish. That's what the Greek bears out. Overwhelmed with anguish. Excruciating anxiety. That was the condition that Jesus was in. He was the Son of God. He was in Gethsemane. But why was he struggling? Do we understand this morning that Jesus was in a personal struggle? And sometimes we look at it and say, the Lord does not understand. Jesus came as a baby and grew up into manhood to experience your emotions this morning. Jesus came to experience areas that God had a plan for Jesus' life in the flesh, see? God had a plan. But Jesus was still human, and there was something about it in Jesus. Who of us wants to go to the cross? Who of us wants to die out to ourself? Who of us here wants to give things up that I really like doing that? Or I really want to do that. I would enjoy doing that. Death is one of the things out of everything. Death is something that in our flesh we tend to draw back from a little bit. Because we've never experienced it. Jesus had lived for eternity in heaven, and he came to this earth, and I believe in the flesh, he didn't know what he was going to experience. But he knew it was going to be painful. He knew there was suffering involved. And his heart was heavy. But keep in mind that it took the cross. See, Jesus was in the garden right here, but he knew that God's plan for his life was the cross. And so he was trying to come to a place of resignation and consecration that, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Because who of us wants to die? Who of us wants to have a cross in our life? But folks, it takes this morning the cross for the will of God to be accomplished in your life. Just like it did for Jesus, before we can celebrate the empty tomb, there had to be a cross. And before we can have victory in our life this morning, if we want to reign in this life, we're only going to do it by way of the cross. But my burden is this, and I haven't heard it brought out exactly this way before, but before there is a cross, there has to be a Gethsemane in our life as well. Jesus did not just cavalierly go and say, okay, I'll take my cross and go, because there was some death in his mind and in his consecration that he had to make to God to say, Lord, it's not my will. In other words, there was something in the will of Jesus, in his humanity, that was in conflict with God's perfect will for his life. Now, Jesus wanted to come to this earth. Understand. Jesus was willing. He wanted to die. He wanted to be an atonement for us, but he was still flesh and blood. And so in his humanity, he was struggling with that. And so he was saying, Father, in my human will, in my human desires, would you let this cup pass from me? You know, Jesus prayed that way, and it's all right for us. But I want you to know Jesus didn't stop with that. He said, Father, if thou be willing, if there's any way possible, Father, that you can save the world without me having to go to the cross, would you do that? Lord, would you let this pass from me? But he went on to say, but not my will. Not my will, but thy will be done. We rejoice at the resurrection, but folks, without the cross, there would have been no bloodshed. There would have been no redemption. There would have been no atonement. There would have been no avenue for us to be saved this morning. But I want us to consider the consecration that Jesus made. He said, not my will. God had a purpose for Jesus, and God has a purpose for each and every one of you this morning. God has a plan in mind for your life. But keep in mind that you personally are going to have to come to a place, if you have not come there, that you have a Gethsemane in your life. Because the Lord showed it to me this way. There are some people that they want to follow the Lord, and so they head for the cross. And they bypass Gethsemane. And they backslide. And they come back and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to take up my cross, and I'm going to start making changes in my life. And they just keep going back and until they get to a place that the cross gets a little bit too heavy. And then they go back to where they were and usually slide deeper into sin than they ever were to start with. Folks, there's a cure for that this morning. There's a place called Gethsemane. Before we are equipped in our hearts and our minds to really go to the cross, a place that represents death, a place that represents self-denial, we're going to have to come and have a personal Gethsemane where we may be in anguish, struggling in our spirit, wanting to hold on to some things that God's will is, I want you to take your hands. I want you to resign yourself completely in the hands of God. Not my will. Lord, if it be possible, Would you still let me do this? Would you still let me go there? Would you still let me participate in this? Would you still let me hold on to this in my life? But folks, the Lord is calling this morning for a complete and total surrender to His will. And it does not mean that we won't have a will. See, Jesus had a will. And that's why He said, Father, my heart's desire, my desire in my flesh, rather, is for You to let this cup pass from me, let the cross pass from me. But Lord, it's not my will. But there is a greater will that we can have, and that is that God's will be accomplished in our life. You know, sometimes we can think that God's going to remove take everything good from us. And if we serve the Lord and we talk about the cross, a place of death, that we just can't be ourselves, that we're going to just lose our identity completely. But do you recognize this morning, if you want, there's a song, and maybe we can sing it at the end of the service here today, but it said, let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. We are more complete people when we actually lose ourselves in the Lord. When we can actually come to the place that we say, Lord, it's not my will. There are things in life that I had a will to do, and there are some things I still have a will. But the greater will is, Lord, I want Your will to be accomplished. And so God has given you the right. He has given you the power of choice this morning. And you are still going to have desires, even in a condition of salvation, that you have a will that is contrary to God's perfect purpose. But there's still a greater consecration that you can make that say, Lord, this is my will, but my greater will is for Your purpose to be accomplished in my life. This is, I believe, what gave Jesus the endurance to carry the cross. This is what gave Jesus the ability to stay on the cross when He could have called for, what does the scripture say, 10 or 12 legions of angels? Which was it? 10. When he could have called for the legions of angels to come and save Him, what was it that kept Him on the cross? Yes, it was His love, but it was because He had had a personal Gethsemane. It was because He had come to a consecration that said, Lord, I want Your will to be accomplished. And He was in agony and He was in pain because He was battling in the flesh. And I want you to know this morning, it is not enough for us to say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to serve the Lord. It will not last very long. You will find yourself falling back into the same condition over and over when you head directly to the cross. But my burden this morning is to encourage all of us, wherever we are, to go to Gethsemane and find that personal consecration with God that we say, Lord, I know I have a will and I know there's some things I'm struggling with, but stay at the altar and stay in prayer until You can make a consecration that, Lord, I want Your will to be accomplished. And that is what will enable you to go all the way to the cross and stay there as long as the Lord wants you to stay there until the day the Lord brings you to a place of victory. Because folks, there's no true victory in life until we come by way of the cross. But too many people are bypassing Gethsemane. And that is a place that I cannot go there with you. There is no one that can go and make that kind of consecration. Jesus went away from His disciples. They were His support group. And this morning, I believe even locally, this is our support group. But there are consecrations in Gethsemane's that have to be personal, because you can't make that kind of consecration for me in my life. It's something I'm going to have to do. In children and young people, your parents cannot serve the Lord for you. They can only go so far, but you're going to have a personal Gethsemane. Don't head right for the cross. Go to the garden and come to a place that you say, Lord, I consecrate and I submit and I yield that Your purpose would be foremost in my life, whatever it takes. And there is going to be a cross involved. There is going to be a place of denial of self. But through denial of self, there is then the joy of the resurrection.
There is the joy of the victory in life that it's going to take a Gethsemane, or you're going to find that you are not able to stay in a place of victory. And you say, I took my cross up. What happened? You bypassed Gethsemane, a place that you consecrated and yielded. The victory, I believe, we can say, well, the victory was won here in the tomb. But you know really where the victory was won? Victory was won back. The victory was won in Gethsemane. Folks, I believe there are some victories God has for us in our lives, but it's only going to come through having a personal Gethsemane. Jesus said in John 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit, if it die. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. What he's speaking of are those, if you love your life, you're not going to come to that place of a personal Gethsemane, because you're going to want to do it your way. You're going to want to have it the things that you think, the desires that you have, and that's going to be your purpose. But Jesus said, if you will hate your life, and he didn't mean hate it in the terms that people use that word today. He meant to love less. If you will love God more this morning than your own life itself, then you're going to have life eternal. That's the victory of the resurrection this morning. I'd like us to turn over to the 16th chapter of Matthew. You know the victory at Gethsemane, it was that consecration, but it was found in a surrender when Jesus gave up his earthly will and embraced the cross to gain the victory of the resurrection. The 16th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will. Sometimes we write over that will. If any man will come after me, we put the focus on the other part. If any man will. God has given each and every one of us here this morning the power of choice. If you will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Very simple question this morning. What are you willing to give in exchange for your souls? What is more important to you in this life that you want to hold on to so desperately that you know you're going to lose your soul in eternity? What are you willing to give in exchange this morning? And that's why Jesus said, if you will, if you want to make heaven, if you want to have victory, if you want to have life, you're going to have to make a decision and make a choice. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross. That's not what Jesus said. He said, let him deny. That's a place that we come to that says, Lord, I am willing for your purpose to be accomplished. This, folks, I can testify to it personally, that is the thing that will keep us faithful during the darkness of the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, it grew dark. He was alone. Before he got there, he was beaten. He was forsaken by his disciples, and he was standing by himself. But he had found a place of consecration in Gethsemane that gave him the strength and the courage to keep his purpose, that, Lord, I want your purpose, God, to be accomplished in my life. This morning, there is no one that can serve God for you. There is no one that can make that kind of consecration
And I want to say to the children, the young people something. Listen to me for just a little bit. Your parents at home are going to try to teach you the way that God wants you to live. And some of that is the cross. There's a place of denial in the way our parents try to teach us. If you want to serve the Lord and live a holy life, this is what you need to do. And we can only deal with the outside issues. I can't change my children's hearts. I can't change your hearts. I only have my own soul in my hand this morning. But there is a place this morning that it gets beyond what mom and dad have taught. It gets beyond that this is what the church teaches. It only has merit. The cross will only bring life when you've had a Gethsemane. You see, we can teach you the right way to live, but we can't change your heart. You have that in your own power this morning. My question is to all of us, and it's not just if you don't know the Lord this morning, the Lord's calling you to a personal Gethsemane. But if you love the Lord this morning, I believe there are areas that we struggle in that we need to come back to the garden. We need to come back and say, Lord, I need to make a consecration to enable me to endure the cross. Jesus went by himself. He went away from his disciples. And this is a personal consecration that only you can make. And you have that power within your hands this morning. Only you can make that kind of surrender. And that surrender means a giving up of your will that God's will could be accomplished in your life. Is there anything in your life this morning? We'll just be personal about it. I can only examine my own life. Is there anything in our life today that we are holding on to that we have some reserve? That we have not just truly been able to take our hands off? The Lord wants your heart this morning. He wants us to come to a place that we say, Lord, I do have a will. God gave that to you. But Lord, I want your will to be accomplished. And I am willing to deny myself. I'm willing to give up some of the things that I wanted to do. But do you realize God is only going to require you to give up those things that come in conflict with His purpose? So God does not tear all of your dreams from you. God does not tear everything that makes you who you are. God doesn't come and remove all of that from us. But He only wants to perfect and change those things that come in conflict with His will being accomplished. There is a song that we sing that says, my flesh recoiled before the cross. And Satan whispered there, thy gain will not repay the loss. You know that's what the devil is trying to tell all of us this morning? He's working hard. Everywhere I go, the devil is working. And the devil is saying that anything you give up, see, there's a recoiling to the cross, but you know, there is. Jesus did too. Jesus' flesh recoiled. He backed off and he said, Lord, if it be possible, let it pass from me. But he went the next step and said, but Lord, I want your will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And Satan will tell you that what you give up will not repay the loss. Any gain that you get from serving the Lord isn't going to make up for what you have to give up. I want you to know this morning that is a lie from the pit of hell. If you will go to Gethsemane and you will deny yourself and then come and take up your cross and follow the Lord, that is where you are going to find victory and power and life and grace and peace and contentment in your spirit. It's going to be found right there. There's only one way to follow Jesus this morning. And it's not by joining the church. It's not by coming to church in and of itself. It's going to be by way of the cross.
It's going to be by a place of surrender, of death to self. But we're only going to be able to maintain that cross, folks, if we come by way of the garden. Not in part. I'll take part of the cross, but the Lord's wanting us to embrace all of it this morning. There is a time of struggle, just like Jesus had, but there is a time, folks, that we need to come to, that we say, Lord, not my will. So let's stand and sing a song this morning. It's number 7, I believe, in the Blue Book. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. And if there's a place this morning that you have been struggling to get to the cross, if you will come to Gethsemane, come to a place of that consecration and surrender to the Lord, you will find there that God will enable you and equip you to go all the way to that place of victory by way of the cross.